be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now, a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And Zacchaeus came down quickly and received him with great joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He's gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have ever extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord. Last week, Jesus presented us the parable contrasting the prayer of the Pharisee and the publican. Both went up to church to pray, both left, and only one's prayer was heard. The one who left in a right relationship with God was not the outwardly devout Pharisee who fasted twice a week, gave 10% of his income back to God, and rejoiced that he was not a thief, rogue, adulterer, or tax collector. The one who left just with God was a humble tax collector who stood at the back, beat his breast, and begged, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." In today's gospel, we encounter those characters from the parable, self-righteous, good people who complain that Jesus actually interacts with sinners and a notorious, humble tax collector. We encounter those characters from the parable in real life, and we see how the God-man responds when such a sinner calls out to him for such mercy. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd and said that he would leave the 99 to go in search of one sheep who was lost. Before that Good Shepherd headed up to Jerusalem to lay down his life for a sheep, he first wanted to hunt down one who was lost. He went to literally the nethermost place on earth in search of perhaps the greatest public sinner of that city to bring him back to his fold. He went to Jericho, literally the lowest city on earth, 853 feet below sea level, to find Zacchaeus, who was not just one of a bunch of despised and excommunicated tax collectors, loathsome to the Jewish authorities, but to the chief tax collector of the whole region. It's an unbelievable thing. This week we rejoiced at the incredible story of the 2013 Red Sox, who were predicted to come in, if not last place, do very poorly, and all of a sudden they win the World Series championship. What we're describing today is something far greater than that. It would be like the worst team in double-A ball had just won the World Series championship. Jesus went to the bottom to choose the one who was least in order to save him, in order to bring him to the championship of his love. That's what's going on. Jesus left the crowds behind and entered alone with the tax collector into his home and into his life. He called Zacchaeus, his lost sheep, by name. The very name Zacchaeus in Hebrew means God remembers. And God had never forgotten him. Heaven rejoiced on that day more for his return than for those who had never wandered. If you thought yesterday's parade was something, you should see the way heaven rejoices whenever one sinner goes to confession. So too, today and every day, Jesus takes the initiative of knocking at the door of our souls, asking for entry, coming to us wherever we are, no matter the depths to which we've sunk, no matter that perhaps everyone around us might despise us. To the extent that we repent of whatever sins we've committed and accept Jesus' gracious invitation by welcoming him with delight, we too, like Zacchaeus, can have salvation come to us. This is the first of three lessons we learn from the story of Zacchaeus and Jesus. That Jesus wants to take us apart from the crowd and bring us the salvation of his mercy. The place where Jesus ordinarily does this is where Blessed John Paul II used to say, Jesus and the whole church exists solely for you alone, which is the confessional. So we talked about last Sunday in the prayer of the publican in the temple, pondered again 2 days ago on All Saints Day, and simply can't stress enough until every Catholic regularly takes advantage of this incredible gift Jesus has given us. In the confessional, Jesus ministers to us individually, just like he interacted individually with Zacchaeus. But we have to be willing to go away with Jesus alone to receive this salvation. Like Zacchaeus, we need to come down. We need to leave the perches of our pride and allow Jesus to minister to us through his priestly ministers. God remembers us, just like he remembered Zacchaeus. Jesus has come to seek and save what was lost. He has come to call sinners. He has a special care for sinners. He could have stayed in any house in Jericho, including the houses of those who were very faithful. But he chose to come to the house of the most notorious sinner to show his priority to care for those who are in most need of the gift of his mercy. During this year of faith, we're called to grow in our faith in each of the seven sacraments Jesus established to love us. For many of us, that means to grow a great deal in our trust in Jesus forgiving in the way he established to forgive our sins. Will we allow Jesus to call and save us one-on-one in the sacrament he has given us for this very purpose? This morning in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis said, "There's no profession or social condition, no sin or crime that can eliminate one of God's children from his memory or his heart. God always remembers. He never forgets anyone he has created. He's a father who's always in expectant and loving vigil to see reborn in the heart of his child the desire to return home. And when he recognizes that desire, even in a simple and almost unconscious way, like Zacchaeus is climbing up on the tree, he quickly draws near, and with his forgiveness he makes the road of conversion and return lighter and easier. Let us look at Zacchaeus today up on the tree. It's a ridiculous gesture, but a gesture of salvation. And I say to each of you, if you have a weight on your conscience, if you're ashamed of some of the things you've done, stop for a second. Don't despair. Remember that someone is waiting for you because he's never stopped remembering you. This someone is your Father. It's God who awaits you. Just like Zacchaeus did, climb up on the tree of the desire to be forgiven. I assure you that you will not be deceived. Jesus is merciful and he never stops forgiving. Let us let ourselves be called by Jesus by name. In the depths of our heart, let us hear his voice saying to us, today I must stay in your house, in your heart, in your life. And let us welcome him with joy. He can change us. He can transform our heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He can free us from selfishness and make our life a gift of love. You know, many people are fascinated by Pope Francis. He's got the highest popularity ratings of anyone on the planet. But Pope Francis would rather be hated by everybody and have his words followed than have everybody admire him and ignore his words. Since he has become Pope, his principal message has been about God's mercy. He's trying to get every Catholic to return to be bathed in the mercy of the Lord. And there are still so many Catholics who have not heeded the Vicar of Christ's appeal for Jesus himself. Please hear what Jesus is saying to us today through Pope Francis. The second thing we learn from this encounter of Zacchaeus and Jesus is about the diminutive tax collector's hunger to see Jesus. Zacchaeus' climbing of the sycamore tree is more than an interesting detail. The text tells us that he was trying to see Jesus, but because of the crowd, he couldn't. So he ran ahead and climbed a tree along Jesus' route in order to be able to see him. We too are often blocked from seeing the Lord because other people get in the way. They block our sight in many ways. Parents block the sight of their children when they don't pray with them at home or take them to Mass or confession or holy days. Cultural forces, like those in the entertainment industry or in public schools or in institutions of higher learning, impede our vision by distorting Jesus' image, ignoring him altogether, or ridiculing those who believe in him. Sometimes even those who should be icons of Jesus, priests, religious, catechists, godparents, obscure our vision because rather than reflecting the image of Jesus to us through virtue, they obstruct it through unchristian behavior. Similar to Zacchaeus, we may not have the wherewithal personally to overcome such obstacles. And unfortunately, too often others may be too caught in themselves to do anything to help us out. Like a little child, however, Zacchaeus climbs a tree to see the Lord. Such an act could have led to great mockery for a middle-aged public figure as he tried to lift his frame up onto branches and everyone would be able to see what he was wearing or not wearing under his tunic. If he had been in the age of Facebook and Instagram, what was underneath his tunic would have become viral. And he didn't care. He didn't care about how much derision might ensue. He just wanted to see the Lord, and no obstacle was going to stop him. He was willing to do something that others would deem ludicrous in order to see Christ as he was passing by. His example challenges each of us to consider what is the extent to which we go, what trees or obstacles will mount in order to see Jesus more clearly. How much do we desire to see the Lord? Are we capable of being accounted fools for following those means that others might consider silly if they'll bring us into greater contact with Jesus? During this year of faith, it's a good time for us to review what obstacles there are in our life and how much effort we've been making to overcome them. Do we overcome the things that get in the way of a solid prayer time? Most of the time, for most Catholics, that just begins with turning off the television or the radio or silencing the phone. Do we prevail to overcome the stumbling blocks that impede our coming to Bible study or to daily Mass or going to visit a sick relative or helping someone in need? Do we get over or under or around the hindrances that derail our mission to share our faith with those with whom we work or go to school? What trees have we climbed in the last year? What trees do we need to climb now? These are all matters we should be praying about as this year of faith draws to its conclusion and making resolutions to respond in the spirit of Zacchaeus. For all of us who are Red Sox fans, I've been saying over this last week that we should live our faith the way Dustin Pedroia and Johnny Gomes play baseball. There's nothing they wouldn't do to help the Red Sox win. Are we willing to make the same effort in the life of faith? None of them would have hesitated to climb up a tree in order to win a game. That's their character. And that should be our character too. And it was Zacchaeus' character. The third thing this episode with Zacchaeus teaches us is that a true conversion to God also brings about a real conversion to others. Even though Zacchaeus, like his fellow tax collector, would have been guilty of ripping off the people of Jericho by basically shaking them down for unjust commission beyond what the tax collectors needed to send to Rome, he knew that he needed to make amends and from that point forward use the gift of his office to do good rather than evil. So he told Jesus, "Look, Lord, half of my possessions I'll give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay it back four times as much." Strict justice would have required his giving back precisely what he had overcharged. And if he had really wanted to be kind, he would have given it back with a modest interest. But he was going to give it back with 400% interest, which is a sign of great contrition for the gravity of his previous sin of stealing and intimidation. Moreover, a strictly observant religious Jew would have given 10% of his income over to God and to the poor. Zacchaeus committed himself to giving 50% of his income to those who were needy, which is a sign of his reborn love and a recognition that others needed his money more than he did. From that point forward, he was going to be an honest tax collector, a Christian tax collector, and use his office for his salvation and the sanctification of others. Zacchaeus likely remained a rich man, but one who would use his riches, his position, whatever God had given him, for building up God's kingdom. We're called to do the same with whatever God has given us, to put it to the use of his kingdom. We're called to use our job for his kingdom. We're called to use our money for his kingdom. We're called to use our lives for his kingdom. During this year of faith, which is meant to be a year of continued conversion, seeking holiness of life, we're also called, as we examine our consciences, to make amends with those we've injured through our sins, to apologize, to repair the harm we've done through gossip, to make restitution for the things we've stolen from family members, from work, from strangers, from the poor through our selfishness. Just like Zacchaeus made restitution. When we've truly encountered Jesus Christ, when we've overcome obstacles to see him, when he's called us by name and sought to bring salvation to our house, we can't but help to live a life of extravagant conversion. The type of conversion we see in Zacchaeus, the type of conversion we see in the character Ebenezer Scrooge, the type of conversion we see in many philanthropists who seek to give all that they've received away when they still have time, the type of conversion we see in so many priests, religious, and consecrated, who after late in life conversion have crazily given up their careers, families of origin, so many material goods, and even their autonomy to follow Jesus up close. When we've really encountered Jesus, who has given all for us, we will never be stingy with others. We will be extravagantly generous with others. That's what we see in Zacchaeus. And if we're not extravagantly generous with others, then it's probably because we haven't really met Jesus yet at the depth with which he wants to encounter us. At today's Mass, we turn to the Lord and we thank him for the example of Zacchaeus, who shows us the path to forgiveness one-on-one with Jesus, who shows us how to overcome whatever hinders us from contact with the Lord, and who shows us how to make amends for our sins against God and neighbor. Just like the Lord went to the lowest place on earth to bring Zacchaeus back to the fold, so the Lord will continually come to save us here in Fall River, no matter how far we've sunk and no matter how many times we've fallen. And there's nothing He won't do to save us. When we in the whole human race were incapable of seeing Him on account of the great weight of sin that was reducing our humanity to smaller and smaller images of what we are called to be. And therefore, when we were incapable of climbing any tree at all, He, out of His great love for us, climbed a tree on our behalf, so that each of us might still be able to see Him perched upon the glorious throne of the cross. Jesus invites each of us here and now in this Eucharistic participation in His death and resurrection to be lifted up by Him onto that life-giving tree, so that as God's children, we might spend eternity in that celestial treehouse built upon the cross's firm foundation. Today, Jesus remembers us. He calls us by name and says, "I must stay in your house today." Even though we, like the centurion, will soon cry out humbly, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof." Jesus, if we do what we learn from Zacchaeus, will say the word and we will be healed. The Son of Man, Jesus tells us at the end of the Gospel passage, has come to seek and to save what was lost. He has come to seek and save us sinners. May His salvation come to our homes and to our lives today. And may we respond like Zacchaeus did, so that we might win something far greater than the Red Sox won this week. This is the Gospel of the Lord.